Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you? Nah. You think that there'll be many of you? Nah.
Marvin didn't try. Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all this. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn early light what so
the man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, let us rejoice and rise high. South and Georgia. Has brought us this far.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm eager to take your questions, so I'll try to be brief at the top. This morning I had a chance to speak with Speaker Boehner, and I told him what I've been saying publicly, that I am happy to talk with him and other Republicans about anything, not just issues I think are important, but also issues that they think are important. But I also told him that having such a conversation, talks, negotiations, shouldn't require hanging the threats of a government shutdown or economic chaos over the heads of the American people. Think about it this way. The American people do not get to demand a ransom for doing their jobs. You don't get a chance to call your bank and say, I'm not going to pay my mortgage this month unless you throw in a new car and an Xbox. If you're in negotiations around buying somebody's house, you don't get to say, well, let's talk about the price I'm going to pay, and if you don't give me the price, then I'm going to burn down your house. That's not how negotiations work. That's not how it happens in business. It's not how it happens in private life. In the same way, members of Congress and the House Republicans in particular don't get to demand ransom in exchange for doing their jobs. And two of their very basic jobs are passing a budget and making sure that America is paying its bills. They don't also get to say, you know, unless you give me what the voters rejected in the last election, I'm going to cause a recession. That's not how it works. No American president would deal with a foreign leader like this. Most of you would not deal with either coworkers or business associates in this fashion, and we shouldn't be dealing this way here in Washington. And, you know, I've heard Republicans suggest that, well, no, this is reasonable, this is entirely appropriate, but as I've said before, imagine if a Democratic Congress threatened to crash the global economy unless a Republican president agreed to gun background checks or immigration reform. I think it's fair to say that Republicans would not think that was appropriate. So let's lift these threats from our families and our businesses, and let's get down to work. It's not like this is a new position that I'm taking here. I had Speaker Boehner and the other leaders in just last week. Either my chief of staff or I have had serious conversations on the budget with Republicans more than 20 times since March. So we've been talking all kinds of business. What we haven't been able to get are serious positions from the Republicans that would allow us to actually resolve some core differences. And they have decided to run out the clock until there's a government shutdown for the possibility to default, thinking that it would give them more leverage. That's not my characterization. They've said it themselves. That was their strategy from the start. And that is not how our government is supposed to run. It's not just me, by the way, who has taken the position that we're willing to have conversations about anything. Senate Democrats have asked to sit down with House Republicans and hash out a budget, but have been rejected by the House Republicans 19 times. At the beginning of this year, Speaker Boehner said, what we want is regular order and a serious budget process. So Senate should pass a bill and House should pass a bill, and then a committee comes together and they hash out their differences and they send the bill to the president. Well, that's exactly what Democrats did. Except somewhere along the way, House Republicans decided they wouldn't appoint people to the committee to try to negotiate. And 19 times they've rejected that. So even after all that, the Democrats in the Senate still passed a budget that effectively reflects Republican priorities at Republican budget levels, just to keep the government open. And the House Republicans couldn't do that either. The point is, I think not only the White House, but also Democrats in the Senate and Democrats in the House have shown more than ample willingness to talk about any issues that the Republicans are concerned about. But we can't do it if the entire basis of the Republican strategy is we're going to shut down the government or cause economic chaos if we don't get 100% of what we want. So my suggestion to the Speaker has been and will continue to be, let's stop the excuses. Let's take a vote in the House. Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work. There are enough reasonable Republicans and Democrats in the House who are willing to vote yes on a budget that the Senate has already passed. That vote could take place today. Shutdown would be over. Then serious negotiations could proceed around every item in the budget. Now, as soon as Congress votes to reopen the government, it's also got to vote to meet our country's commitments, pay our bills, raise the debt ceiling. Because as reckless as a government shutdown is, the economic shutdown caused by America defaulting would be dramatically worse. And I want to talk about this for a minute because even though people can see and feel the effects of a government shutdown, they're already experiencing it right now, they're still some people out there who don't believe that default is a real thing. And we've been hearing that from some Republicans in Congress that default would not be a big deal.
It's not the whole intro.
So let me explain this. If Congress refuses to raise what's called the debt ceiling, America would not be able to meet all of our financial obligations because it's called raising the debt ceiling. I think a lot of Americans think it's raising our debt. It is not raising our debt. It does not add a dime to our debt. It simply says you pay for what Congress has already authorized America to purchase, whether that's the greatest military in the world or veterans benefits or Social Security, whatever it is that Congress has already authorized. What this does is make sure that we can pay those bills. Now, the last time that the Tea Party Republicans flirted with the idea of default, 2 years ago, markets plunged, business and consumer confidence plunged, America's credit rating was downgraded for the first time, and a decision to actually go through with it, to actually permit default, according to many CEOs and economists, would be, and I'm quoting here, insane, catastrophic, chaos. These are some of the more polite words. Warren Buffett likened default to a nuclear bomb, a weapon too horrible to use. It would disrupt markets. It would undermine the world's confidence in America as the bedrock of the global economy. And it might permanently increase our borrowing costs, which, of course, ironically, would mean that it would be more expensive for us to service what debt we do have, and it would add to our deficits and our debt, not decrease them. There's nothing fiscally responsible about that. Now, preventing this should be simple. As I said, raising the debt ceiling is a lousy name, which is why members of Congress in both parties don't like to vote on it, because it makes you vulnerable in political campaigns. But it does not increase our debt. It does not grow our deficits. It does not allow for a single dime of increased spending. All it does is allow the Treasury Department to pay for what Congress has already spent. But, as I said, it's always a tough vote. People don't like doing it, although it has been done 45 times since Ronald Reagan took office. Nobody in the past has ever seriously threatened to breach the debt ceiling until the last 2 years. And this is the creditworthiness of the United States that we're talking about. This is our word. This is our good name. This is real. In a government shutdown, millions of Americans face inconvenience or outright hardship. In an economic shutdown, every American could see their 401ks and home values fall, borrowing costs for mortgages and student loans rise, and there would be a significant risk of a very deep recession at a time when we're still climbing our way out of the worst recession in our lifetimes. You know, the American people have already fought too hard and too long to come back from one crisis, only to see a handful of more extreme Republicans in the House of Representatives precipitate another one. Now, the good news is over the past 3.5 years, our businesses have created 7.5 million new jobs. Our housing market's healing. We've cut the deficit in half since I took office. The deficit is coming down faster than any time in the last 50 years. America is poised to become the number one energy producer in the world this year. This year, for the first time in a very long time, we're producing more oil than we're importing. So we got a lot of good things going for us, but the uncertainty caused by just 1 week of this nonsense so far has caused businesses to reconsider spending and hiring. You've seen consumer confidence plunge to the lowest level since 2008. You've seen mortgages held up by thousands of homebuyers who aren't sure about the economic situation out there. And all this adds to our deficits. It doesn't subtract from it. So we can't afford these manufactured crises every few months. And as I said, this one isn't even about deficits or spending or budgets. Our deficits are falling at the fastest pace in 60 years. The budget that the Senate passed is at Republican spending levels. It's their budget that Democrats were willing to put votes on just to make sure the government was open while negotiations took place for a longer-term budget. And what's happened, the way we got to this point was one thing and one thing only, and that was Republican obsession with dismantling the Affordable Care Act and denying health care to millions of people. That law, ironically, is moving forward. So most Americans, Democrats and Republicans, agree that health care should not have anything to do with keeping our government open or paying our bills on time, which is why I will sit down and work with anyone of any party, not only to talk about the budget, I'll talk about ways to improve the health care system. I'll talk about ways that we can shrink our long-term deficits. I'll also want to talk about how we're going to help the middle class and strengthen early childhood education and improve our infrastructure and research and development. There are a whole bunch of things I want to talk about in terms of how we're going to make sure that everybody's getting a fair shake in this society and that our economy is growing in a broad-based way and building our middle class. And by the way, if anybody doubts my sincerity about that, I've put forward proposals in my budget to reform entitlement programs for the long haul and reform our tax code in a way that would close loopholes for the wealthiest and lower rates for corporations and help us invest in new jobs and reduce our deficits. And some of these were originally Republican proposals because I don't believe any party has a monopoly on good ideas. So I've shown myself willing to go more than halfway in these conversations. And if reasonable Republicans want to talk about these things again, I'm ready to head up to the Hill and try. I'll even spring for dinner again. But I'm not going to do it until the more extreme parts of the Republican Party stop forcing John Boehner to issue threats about our economy. We can't make extortion routine as part of our democracy. Democracy doesn't function this way. And this is not just for me. It's also for my successors in office, whatever party they're from. They shouldn't have to pay a ransom either for Congress doing its basic job. We've got to put a stop to it. Last point I'll make. Already this week, I had to miss critical meetings in Asia to promote American jobs and businesses. And although, as long as we get this fixed, that's not long-term damage. Whenever we do these things, it hurts our credibility around the world. It makes it look like we don't have our act together. And that's not something we should welcome. The greatest nation on earth shouldn't have to get permission from a few irresponsible members of Congress every couple of months just to keep our government open or to prevent an economic catastrophe. So let's pass a budget. Let's end this government shutdown. Let's pay our bills. Let's avert an economic shutdown. Let's drop the gimmicks, put aside what's good for any particular party, and let's focus on what's good for the American people because they know we've got a lot of work to do. All right?
We'll say it was a pleasant conversation, although I have to say I was disappointed that the president refuses to negotiate. When it comes to the issue of funding our government, the House has passed four bills. Four bills to fund our government and provide fairness to people under Obamacare. Each of those four bills was rejected by the United States Senate. Under the Constitution and our system of government, we asked that they sit down and have a conversation with us about funding the government, keeping it open, and providing fairness to the American people under Obamacare. They refused to do it. Now, over the last 30 years, dozens of times, there have been negotiations over funding our government. All of those negotiations over the last 30 years have resulted in significant policy changes. And I would remind you that the President of the United States and I sat down in the spring of 2011 to negotiate a funding bill for the government from March all the way through September. During that negotiation, there were all kinds of policy considerations. And if you recall, the opportunity scholarships for kids here in D.C. Was, in fact, restored into law. So the president's position that, listen, we're not going to sit down and talk to you until you surrender is just not sustainable. It's not our system of government. When it comes to the debt limit, I agree with the president. We should pay our bills. I didn't come here to shut down the government. I certainly didn't come here to default on our debt. But when it comes to the debt limit, again, over the last 40 years, 27 times the debt limit has been used to carry significant policy changes that would, in fact, reduce spending and put us on a saner fiscal path. President Reagan sat down with Tip O'Neill in the 1980s. President Bush in 1990 went out to Andrews Air Force Base and got into a long debate and negotiation with Democrats here in Congress. Bill Clinton went through this three times in the 1990s. President Obama and I sat down in 2011 and had a serious negotiation. And while the president today suggested that I walked away from the deal, I would have to remind him that I was in the Oval Office along with the majority leader, Eric Cantor, when we in fact had an agreement that 2 days later the president walked away from. But there was in fact another negotiation in 2011 that resulted in really the largest deficit reduction bill that we've seen here in the last 30 years. But in 2010, when Democrats controlled the Congress and President Obama was in the White House, what happened was a group of moderate Democrats in the House wouldn't agree to raise the debt limit without a negotiation. So there was a negotiation then amongst Democrats over raising the debt ceiling. The long and short of it is there's going to be a negotiation here. We can't raise the debt ceiling without doing something about what's driving us to borrow more money and to live beyond our means. The idea that we should continue to spend money that we don't have and give the bill to our kids and our grandkids would be wrong. This isn't about me, and it's not about Republicans. This is about saving the future for our kids and our grandkids. And the only way this is going to happen is to, in fact, have a conversation. So it's time to have that conversation. Not next week, not next month. The conversation ought to start today. And I'm hopeful that whether it's the president or Democrat leaders here in the Congress, we can begin that conversation.
Can you tell us, please, what would you say to military families who've just been denied death benefits due to the shutdown?
Last week, the Congress passed the Pay Our Military Benefits Act. We gave broad authority to the Department of Defense to pay all kinds of bills, including this. Frankly, I think it's disgraceful that they're withholding these benefits. But again, tomorrow, the House is going to act specifically on this, and I hope the president will sign it.
Go ahead.
Mr. Speaker, the President made extremely clear that he did not want to negotiate. You are making extremely clear that you have to negotiate. What happens, in all candor, if it is 11:59 on October 17th and we're not there?
You know, at times like this, the American people expect their leaders to sit down and have a conversation. I want that conversation to occur now.
Speaker, the President said today that he would negotiate.
What the president said today was, if there's unconditional surrender by Republicans, he'll sit down and talk to us. That's not the way our government works. Thanks, everybody.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors program. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration. Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Risen, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Risen offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
Walking down the street now is a dangerous thing. There are drug dealers, crack houses, gang members, and crackheads. People fighting, cursing, and killing too. So much chaos, we don't know what to do. But if people only knew that they are hurting little children, if they could only see what our community could be. When in consultation, 1, stay calm. 2, try to say something positive. 3, tell the person what's on your mind. 4, ask if the person understands. 5, thank the person for listening if you can. Come on, y'all, let's be an example. It has to start somewhere. How about now? For more information on ways to prevent violent crimes, contact Totally Positive Productions at 773-488-9553.
Are you the parent of a troubled teen, or you just want to have a closer relationship with your child? If so, sign up for our free webinar called 5 Easy Tips to Effective Communication with Your Teen right now, hosted by teen expert Release Henry. Log on to successfulteenparenting.com/webinar.
Do you hear that sound? Well, that's the sound of back pain. Are you tired of nagging and persistent back pain? Whether you're suffering from a chronic condition or a recent injury, don't fret. Chiropractic has proven to be a natural and holistic alternative to pain medications and surgical procedures. Visit Dr. Todd Tucker at our Water Tower location on Chicago's Magnificent Mile for a free consultation and exam. Call 888-535-2381 to get started with your personalized treatment plan. That's 888-535-2381. Call now.
In this, her first romance novel, State of Ecstasy, Jew Ephraim finds passion on the lush island of Martinique. Reminiscent of the works of Klipas and Lawrence, Jew Ephraim's rich emotional landscape delivers an achingly accessible complexity that makes State of Ecstasy steamy, provocative, and fresh, and its author a forceful new voice who brings an entirely new level of heat to romance. With her soon-to-be-released paranormal novel, Ephraim is giving us a brand new insight into this genre. Find her books on Amazon, iTunes, and wherever books are sold.
When were you last on an amazing vacation? I'm Tracy Lewis, leisure travel specialist with Pogo World Travel, and I'm here to tell you that you don't have to go it alone when planning the vacation of a lifetime. So the next time you're looking for expert advice on that perfect vacation, you've got Pogo World Travel every step of the way. Visit our website at gowithpogo.com today and find out why they say, go with Pogo World Travel and discover your dream of vacation come true.
What a boy. Every strange and talented boy. Say he wonderfell before. As we spoke of many things, rules and kings, just he said to me, greatest thing you could ever learn, just love.
Say goodbye. do it. I can't do it no more. I can't sing no more sad songs. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Bop, bop, bop it out of bebop. Bop, bop, yeah, bass man. Come on up. 1, 2, 3, hit me. Sound good. Yeah, saxophone on the floor. 1, 2, 3, hit it.
Underground contributor M from DC, and she can give me the DC report. DC Dana, what's going on, Dana from DC? What's happening?
Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
I can't complain. Did you see the president's speech today?
I did not.
Good.
But, as always, I'm sure you're going to enlighten me. So, Jimmy, all eyes and ears are on you. Break it down.
I appreciate that. I'll play a little bit of again. Just 5 minutes of everybody. I'll play run back to Jameer.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm eager to take your questions, so I'll try to be brief at the top. This morning I had a chance to speak with Speaker Boehner, and I told him what I've been saying publicly, that I am happy to talk with him and other Republicans about anything, not just issues I think are important, but also issues that they think are important. But I also told him that having such a conversation, talks, negotiations, shouldn't require hanging the threats of a government shutdown or economic chaos over the heads of the American people. Think about it this way. The American people do not get to demand a ransom for doing their jobs. You don't get a chance to call your bank and say, I'm not going to pay my mortgage this month unless you throw in a new car and an Xbox. If you're in negotiations around buying somebody's house, you don't get to say, well, let's talk about the price I'm going to pay, and if you don't give me the price, then I'm going to burn down your house. That's not how negotiations work. That's not how it happens in business. It's not how it happens in private life. In the same way, members of Congress and the House Republicans in particular don't get to demand ransom in exchange for doing their jobs. And two of their very
We'll say it was a pleasant conversation, although I have to say I was disappointed that the president refuses to negotiate. When it comes to the issue of funding our government, the House has passed four bills to fund our government and provide fairness to people under Obamacare. Each of those four bills was rejected by the United States Senate. Under the Constitution and our system of government, we asked that they sit down and have a conversation with us about funding the government, keeping it open, and providing fairness to the American people under Obamacare. They refused to do it. Now, over the last 30 years, dozens of times, there have been negotiations over funding our government. All of those negotiations over the last 30 years have resulted in significant policy changes. And I would remind you that the President of the United States and I sat down in the spring of 2011 to negotiate a funding bill for the government from March all the way through September. During that negotiation, there were all kinds of policy considerations. And if you recall, the opportunity scholarships for kids here in D.C. Was in fact restored into law. So the president's position that, listen, we're not going to sit down and talk to you until you surrender is just not sustainable. It's not our system of government. When it comes to the debt limit, I agree with the president. We should pay our bills. I didn't come here to shut down the government. I certainly didn't come here to default on our debt. But when it comes to the debt limit, again, over the last 40 years, 27 times the debt limit has been used to carry significant policy changes that would, in fact, reduce spending and put us on a saner fiscal path. And President Reagan sat down with Tip O'Neill in the 19... 19-
Okay, Dan, that's where we are right now. What do you think?
Does it sound like we're getting closer to a resolution?
The president's in 14 minutes now. That John Boehner and Barack Obama on the same team, and Harry Reid is the enemy.
Why is Harry Reid the enemy?
Okay, I played a little bit of Barack Obama's speech. I mean, John Boehner's speech, and he said that, which is true in the constitutional rules, they passed a bill to fund the government. They passed a bill to fund the government. And in passing that bill, they sent it to the Senate. The Senate didn't pass it. So that's where the stalemate is at. Barack Obama said he had a nice little conversation with John Boehner. John Boehner said he had a nice little conversation with Barack Obama. But check this out, Dana. Have you been watching the news today?
I have not watched the news today.
Well, listen, have you heard the word furlough tossed around the last couple of days?
Yes, I have heard the word furlough tossed around for the last couple of days.
Do you know what a furlough is?
I think a furlough is similar to a layoff. But you get paid once the furlough is over.
That's what the government is under, furlough. There's no shutdown. It's all furlough days. This is a big sham. This is a big sham. Let me tell you something.
What would be the purpose of the scam?
Okay, let me tell you the purpose of the sham. The Republicans get to go home to their constituents and say, we shut the government down. We held Obamacare up. And all their constituents say, yeah, we did vote you in. Obama can say, it's Republicans' fault. And then they can say, right, it's been Republicans' fault. You know, he gets the win like they hold me back. Republicans like the fact that Obama says it's their fault because the Republicans will go back and give them checks. Now, all that's going to do is get Republicans elected. Now, after the furlough days, all the money the government has saved, like Obama said, I'm playing so. Well, I don't know, Dana. You got 14 minutes to kill. I'll play the whole speech for you so you can hear the whole speech. But he's going to have. He's going to have a surplus in the end because he saved money from this furlough day because he didn't pay those 600,000 federal workers didn't get paid today. Or this week, or that Friday, or what have you. So that's money saved.
If they're going to be back paid, if everybody's going to be back paid, how is there a true saving?
Well, excuse me, let me get that talk on everybody. Anybody can tell you this, outside the military government, what have you, that in governments across the country, city governments, public institutions, stuff like that, federal government's been asking their employees take one or two furlough days that's the day that they come to work and not get paid. So they can get money, their pension to save money. So if a city can do that across the board, the city can save X amount of dollars that day. Now, if the government can do it, they can save X amount of $1 million that those every day that those workers don't go to work. All that does is put money right back into the government. And instead of having a deficit, you can have a surplus. I.e., when Bill Clinton was in office and the government shut down, we ended up with a surplus because we didn't pay those people. And then what you're going to do after that, you're going to look and see who's important, who's not important in government. And then you're going to have layoffs. And then you're going to shrink government down, just like Bill Clinton shrunk government down. So you're going to end up with a surplus. Barack Obama gets a surplus and goes off in history. Republicans get to remain in Congress for a majority. Those are things.
Did you say the Republicans get to end up in office?
Yes, the Republicans end up back in office because the their constituents, they went to Congress and did what they said they was going to do. And that was
why would a Democratic president want the Republicans to be in office?
Why didn't the Democratic Congress give the president authorization to go at Syria? Why they leave him standing still? And that major, major vote just 3 weeks ago, they played him for the last time. For the last time. So right now, what he's going to do now is like, forget y'all. All I got was 4 votes out the whole Congress. This guy got biological weapons. After the Democrats did not give him the authorization, Putin came in and said, don't hit Syria. We'll bring the weapons in. Now the whole world knows that they have weapons. Where was the Democrat Congress behind the president? He is the leader of the party. They tried to humiliate him, and he realized it. And that's how they played him. Not the Republicans, the Democrats. So Barack Obama's getting them back by helping the Republicans get elected. That's how the game goes.
Okay, wait a minute. So what you're saying is kind of like when I went to my constituent and I said, hey, I need help. I need help. This is what's happening. And they said, I ain't even got no weapons.
Yeah.
So then I said, well, hey, that doesn't make sense. I keep voting the same way for 30 years. Except when all the smoke and mirrors clear, then you're not what I thought you were. So maybe I should look in another direction. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I am saying that, but in essence, Barack Obama realized that, hey, I'm a Democratic president. If the Republicans don't vote for me, at least my party's going to have my back. And his party didn't have his back. So if he didn't went to Congress for the vote, it would have been even his own party didn't agree with him. It would be to shame him and humiliate him and to make him look ineffective. So what is he going to do? He's going to punish them by making sure we get elected. And that's what's going on.
Hmm.
You see?
Well, now.
No, do we call our last interview? Well, I don't know if he's on the phone. We was talking about Obama going to war with Syria and how he has to go to war with Syria. And they had a vote. You can always YouTube it. But the Democrats did not stand with them. He had more Republican votes with him than Democrat votes with him. Not that, even though he knew he was going to lose the vote, because Republicans are in Congress, he could have argued it was a party line vote, and that's why I didn't get my way. But what the Democrats did, They did not allow him to say it's a party line vote by not even giving him the vote by voting no, 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 no. And we all know that Syria ended up with those biological weapons. We do know that, don't we? Don't we know that now?
We do know that.
And when he asked his congressman, got him, they play him like, man, shut up, boy, he ain't got him. You wrong. Now, here's this man in a key leadership position. Now, you can't argue it's Republicans, it's Republicans. Now, yeah, when it comes down, it should be a party line vote. Then you can argue, the Republicans played him. They're racist. But when your own party say, no, 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 then you know it's a problem. Then you know it's a problem. And that's why they're going to get elected again. And he's going to make sure of that. You know. So that's why I say it's a brand new time now. It's a brand new time now. And that's why people are looking at different options. People ask me every day why I'm going Republican. Why?
But do you think now this is the moment of truth, okay? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Is it possible that your view is biased?
Say it again.
Is it possible that you're biased?
In what way?
Meaning like because that's your party and that's the party you support, is it possible that you're biased in terms of that's my party so they're going to win?
No. It's justifiable homicide. Now, what's justifiable homicide, Dana? Now, I killed the Democratic Party, and this is justifiable to me right here. When I left the Democratic Party, it was because I watched all the black Democrats not support Barack Obama. I watched how they tried to slam him in the Democratic primary. It was upsetting to me. I backed Obama. When he got elected is when I became a Republican, not because I hated Obama, because I hated what the party did to him. I watched nobody back black them. I watched Bill Clinton say it's the biggest fairy tale ever happened. I watched the BET man said the dude was a cokehead. I watched him try to beat this guy all the way up and down, like, what the hell is going on? And that pissed me off. And then my decision was, they saw how they really feel about a black man. And this is as far as you're going to go in the Democratic Party. So I switched in. And so when I watch how the blacks never had his back because they always was Hillary Clinton Democrats, I watch how Rahm Emanuel messed up this Obamacare. That's why I said fluctuated why it's bullshitting right now. And I watch how the Democrats never, ever had the back of the guy that won the nomination. So I'm not saying I'm biased. To me, it's reason why I did the right thing by leaving those bums. Because they only look out for their own. They don't look out for their own. They would rather humiliate their leader, the leader of the party. When you're a Democratic president, that means you won the Democratic National Convention. That means all the Democrats in all the country gave you their nomination. That means you won all the Democrats. Now here all the Democrats come in Congress and tell you, nah, boy, we don't believe you. And in the end, what happens? He was right. So why help those out who try to humiliate you on the grand national stage? Well, I'm trying to show the whole world that America's with me. London's not with me. Germany's not with me. France is on the fence. Everybody say I'm lying. And in the end, he has them. You dig where I'm coming from, Dana? That's just wrong.
I do.
So that's not why. See, as a Republican, you would expect a Republican to be against the president. You would expect that. But Republicans even voted for him in that cause. You know where I'm coming from? So they didn't go. They crossed party lines because in their mind, this is the right thing to do. I can go across the party lines, not a party line vote for me. So you expect a dig it. if he might have had Democrat votes, he might have had enough votes to even have to override the votes of the Republican. Maybe, maybe not. But if more Republicans voted for him than Democrats, that shows you that Democrats played him. And it's not being biased. It's me trying to tell everybody, wake up and watch how the Democratic Party is showing you how they feel about the president. They throw it on the Republicans as if they are the racist ones. But when he needed his party the most, they abandoned him. This is what I'm saying. And that's why I'm proud to be Republican now. From the old school days, the days of Ed Brooks, Cesar Partee, Booker T, W.E.B., Marvel Trotter, Martin Delaney. You know, the great guys that set laws and did things, Martin Luther King, Frederick Douglass. You know, what I'm saying is this, that every in history, Dana, when you go back and look at Black History Week, Black History Month, everybody that did anything in advancement of black people were black Republicans. Point the fuck blank. You know, there's no denying it. I ain't saying, look, whatever. What about now? What about now? Now I ain't go about what about now. What about now is Democratic Party played Barack Obama like a nigger. They could have stood with him and said, we stood to your back. The Republicans played her because they're racist. They could have did that. They could play this. They play it all the time. They could play it right then. But no, they want to humiliate him. Why? Because they mad that he beat Hillary Clinton. That's all. I dig it. For you Hillary Clinton fans out there, let's go Condi. Excuse the popcorn, everybody. Hillary Clinton messed up Benghazi. Hillary Clinton messed up Benghazi. Hey, baby. Hold on for a second. Hold on. Hold on for a second. Hold on. Hold on. I got to take a commercial break for a second, everybody. Because I got somebody in my crib right now. Yeah, Adam just coming back in the building, everybody, so I had to make a quick break and let her catch up where he's at and plug these phone lines in. I ain't trying to hurt no feelings. But anyway, Dana, point I'm saying is this, that that's why I'm a Democrat. Left the Democratic Party right there. That's why I left the Democratic Party. Because of the blatant racism that they do and how Negroes don't even see the racism right in front of their face.
Well, but see, I wouldn't call it, okay, so I feel that there's two important things that you're saying right now. One is that it sounds like you're trying to do the right thing, and it's not, it doesn't mean that you have to be a party affiliate, right? And the reason I say that is because you were associating with one, and then when you felt they didn't do the right thing, then you decided, hey, you know what, I can't represent something that I don't feel is right.
That's what we all
should.
Say again? We should all be that way. You know, I don't try to make nobody who's a diehard Democrat look my way. I just try to point things out to them like, hey, look at this and look at that. You want to blame the Republicans for being racism, look what the Democratic Party and how they tried to humiliate your president on the national stage. That wasn't Republicans. That was Democrats, black and white, across the board, to make them look impotent and weak and feeble. That's all I'm saying, Dana. It wasn't Republicans, because Republicans even voted for him. If Republicans didn't like him and felt that he's wrong, they wouldn't even vote for him. And check this out, Dana. Last time I checked, there's hardly no black Republicans in the Congress. Do you understand where I'm coming from? You understand where I'm coming from? So, hey, where's the racism at? It's BS. And why is Obamacare messed up? Because the Republicans wanted it messed up. That's Rahm Emanuel. He messed it up. There was something that everybody wanted, the public option in it. Rahm Emanuel didn't put it in there, took it out because a lot of things. There's a lot of things right with Obamacare, and there's a lot of things wrong with Obamacare. I can't say it's going to mess up because I got to get a chance to see what's this. It has not been implemented for me to even give a straight-up judgment. But I know there's things wrong with it, but it would have been better when he had a Democratic Congress to get what he wanted. But even then, he couldn't get what he wanted with a Democratic Congress. Why? Because they were still mad that Hillary didn't win. So they all phony. So I said, y'all phony. I'd rather be around somebody that I know how they feel about me than around somebody that's hiding the way they feel about me. What about you?
Well, I'd rather be around somebody that can judge me based on the content of my character and let all this other stuff go by the wayside.
Let me do a little sociology on you real fast. Let me do a little Dr. Crockett for you for a minute. For those who are Dr. Crockett, y'all know what I'm talking about. Let me go in there and do something like this now. What do you say, Dana, now? Hold on. Somebody told me Dr. Crockett passed away. I know she passed away. I was looking at the internet and see she passed away. It threw me off. But the point I was coming at is this.
Who passed away?
No. The point I was saying, Dana, is that I'm having a brain freeze right now because I was on something and somebody said Dr. Crockett passed away. And I got kind of shocked and blew off.
Who passed away?
Oh, I know. My train of thought is gone. My train of thought is gone.
No, I hear what you said. Who passed away?
No, I lost my train of thought. No.
So here's what I was saying, Jimmy. Is that anybody that would, you know, okay, so of course there's a simulation that occurs, you know, when somebody is voting, it's like, ooh, kind of like judging a football game. I want my team to win. But if your team doesn't win, then the responsible thing is to still do the right thing. Because people aren't elected into office to support.
Now, that's the point I was remembering. The point I was trying to say is that, but not their embarrassment, humiliation, they try to humiliate them. Now, that's more racist than if the Republicans would have done it. What I'm saying, when he needed votes, he had Republican votes. When he needed Democratic votes, he didn't have them. And he's the leader of their party. Now, are the party saying that are the Democratic Party saying that Barack Obama is not a capable leader? Are they trying to send that message to America or to the world?
No, definitely not, because he's already proven that he's a very capable leader.
No, Dana.
I mean, I don't care. Nobody can send that message because you know what? He didn't just talk about it. He's like how R. Kelly said, he wasn't just going to talk about it. He had to be about it. He's been doing his thing and handling his business since day one.
If he took that vote,
I mean, you know,
Dana, if he took that vote, if Putin would not have came in and stepped in, and he got that vote on Congress, and it would have been that Congress overwhelmingly said, "Don't do it, Obama." Even members of his own party, when they said every member but three or four in his own party didn't vote for it. There were about 200-something Democrats in the party.
People can be wrong all the time, but that doesn't mean that that has nothing to do with
Dana, he's the leader of the party. He's their leader. He's their leader.
But people have to vote based on what they feel is right. You can't vote
based on who's in the party. Listen, you hate Republicans because of George Bush. You mad that every time George Bush asked for something, Republicans gave it to him. So everybody hate George Bush. But why they gave it to him? Because he's the leader of the party. The leader said it, so they followed him. You know, right or wrong, okay, we made you our leader because we believe in you, and we ain't going to let nobody know that you're fake and phony because we believe in you. Right or wrong, we're going to roll with you.
But it's already been proven that the lack of support has nothing to do with ability, capability, or whether or not he's handling his business. The lack of support has everything to do with bias. Because, again, like you said, when he said that there was weapons being used, that was proven. So to not support him just goes to show that there's still a problem within this country that not just Democrats, people are not standing behind the leader and allowing him to lead, even though he is proving that he is capable. He is proving that he'll do the right thing. He has proven that he deserves to be there. So to not support him is not a reflection of him. The lack of support is a reflection of them. Whoever them
right.
is.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, Dana. Bottom line is this. George Bush said, Joe Republican said, ha-ha. Obama said, help me. They said, bye-bye. Fuck you, nigger. They said, fuck you, nigger. Everybody know about Rush said about him. So about Rush called him Uncle Tom. Everybody know that.
Why you say
everybody
that?
Everybody know how...
Why would you say he called him Uncle Tom?
Yeah, Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom.
Why you say that?
That's what Bobby Rush first called him when Barack Obama tried to run against Bobby Rush back in before he became senator, the state senator. He tried to be run for Congress, and Bobby Rush called him Uncle Tom, half-breed, liberal from the same shit everybody say right now. They got it from Bobby Rush. All the talking points that all white America have about Barack Obama, they got from Bobby Rush. A Democrat,
well, the thing is, hopefully this time whoever's running will be able to run on their merit and not based on trying to slander or, you know what I mean, or slander somebody else. Because honestly, the best person for the job is a person that is able to show, you know what, I'm a stand-up kind of guy. And honestly, and I think that was one of the biggest problems with Mitt Romney, right? He had to run the smear campaign, and then it ended up coming out that it wasn't true. So hopefully the whatever candidates are running this time will be able to run based on their capabilities and based on who they
are.
Well,
Dan, let's go. He was down with Obama, like I told Sean the other day, that Herman Cain would have beat Obama for one reason only. He had a plan. His tax plan.
But see, that's only a theory because he didn't even make it that far. So we can't say if he would have beat him or not because he didn't get a chance. If it was a theft, then we'd all be drunk. He didn't get a chance to be in that position.
Okay, I'm going to go here. True that. But somebody could say if Ross Perot was president, we wouldn't have NAFTA right now. If for the fifth we all be drunk, but Ross Perot told everybody when he ran against George Bush and Bill Clinton that NAFTA will take all the jobs out of America and fuck us all up. If you get me, I'm going to stop it. You're right. If for the fifth we all be drunk, but if everybody listened to Ross Perot, NAFTA wouldn't be here. So the point I'm saying is when you're a candidate and you come with a plan and your plan is sufficient, you can get drunk off the fifth, but the fifth don't take away the potency of your drink because your plan is potent. Your plan is potent. Ross Perot, listen, I believe Ross Perot. I believe in NAFTA. I believe that NAFTA's going to kill everybody else. I don't like Bill Clinton for signing NAFTA. Now there's no jobs in America, the North America trade agreement to win the effect. And now, I remember I was in school when NAFTA got passed. I was running around asking everybody, like, yo, everybody from Detroit at that time. Hey, man, you know, Ross Perot, man, said that NAFTA's wild, but you know what y'all think about NAFTA, man? Bill Clinton signed it. Everybody was down Clinton. Man, ain't nothing happening, man. I'm like, man, but see, jobs gonna go overseas, man. Jobs will be gone. Man, jobs ain't going nowhere to Detroit. It's like 1993. Here it is 10 years later, because of NAFTA, there's no jobs in Detroit no more. There's no jobs nowhere no more. They're going across, but like I said, if it was a fifth, then we'd all be drunk. If you choose the right candidate with the right plan, then the problem would be solved. The point I'm saying is the right man to get chosen. In a democratic process, that's how I go. All I'm saying is if someone would have adopted this plan, then who would have known? Before Herman Cain, no one had a plan. After Herman Cain, no one still had a plan. You had talking back and forth. You had the dozens between Romney and Obama, playing the dozens back and forth. No policies. Not what I'm going to do for America, or is my plan to save America. The only way Obama's saving America right now is a government shutdown by not allowing people to get paid. And these quote-unquote furlough days is how he's saving America. Some of them remedies are not
Bill
Clinton.
People are getting paid, though. That's the thing. People are getting paid.
That's true, but Dan, I'm going here. People only go on sound bites because they're trained to go Democrat. Now, I've been a Democrat. When it came down to presidents, you know, even state, local, I voted my interest, but I always align with Democrats. I didn't vote for Clinton the first time. I voted for Ross Perot both times. Straight up. I voted for Nader over Gore. I voted for Howard Dean. But when Howard Dean didn't get in, I was like, man, fuck y'all. I was a dean for America, man. Fuck y'all. Y'all full of shit. Dean's the right candidate for the job. When Dean got out, I ran with George. I said, fuck it. George got to get in. You know, the first time over George Bush was the second term because I realized he got us in here, he got to get us out of here. No need to switch ships. And then I'm realizing when Obama comes in, you got to roll with Obama. The world has changed. I know from the city. This guy's all this and that. I can talk about Obama. You know, I can criticize Obama. Because I know what he's doing wrong. I know what he's doing right. Because I'm an independent thinker. I ain't like these Republicans that jump on Obama just because. Nah. I jump on Obama because people are hungry in the hood. The hood is hungry. People starving. Ain't no job creation. And the hood is colorblind.
He has created jobs. He's created.
The hood is colorblind. The hood is color. Nah. Nah, 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 nah. The hood is colorblind. It ain't a black thing. It ain't a white thing. It's a pro-white trash and a pro-black trash thing. Straight up. Welfare being cut, food stamps being cut right here under Obama. He's watching it happen. Everybody trip on the Bush tax break. They still in the place. They ain't going nowhere. All the complaints everybody had about Bush, no, 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 Obama's still doing it. Ain't nobody tripping. So what's up for real? What's up for real? When you look around, if Obama doing what Bush is doing right, then it got to be right then. It got to be right. Unless Obama is wrong. If Obama keeps his foreign policy up and Bush did it, it must be right then. If Obama did not cut the Bush tax policy, it must be right then. If it's wrong, criticize George, or I mean criticize Obama right now. But Obama's not being criticized. He has not done nothing but repeat George Bush all over again, so Bush must have been right. Hey, listen, have you heard him blame Bush at all? Nope. But any problems any economic problem, he ain't say shit about Bush. Nope. I'm going to do it like GW. I can go to Africa and bomb Yemen. I can go to Somalia and shoot pirates. I can go to Mogadishu. Bill Clinton, you can't do this. I can go get Gaddafi. I can get Osama. I can get Ed Mahal. I can get all our enemies right now. Who next on the list? I'm Obama. You know, he's going down as the greatest president of the decade. Of the decade. And nobody can dispute that. Nobody can dispute. My man Charles Love said this to me the other day. He said a lot of Republicans jumped on him. He said Obama is the greatest president of this decade. Everybody shoot him down. Shut him down. Ah, nah, nah, nah. But technically speaking, for the last 10 years, he has been, everything he wanted, he got. All American enemies he captured. America's broke. He told everybody, fuck y'all, no jobs, y'all ain't getting paid. That's Obama. That's Obama.
Okay, so now would you say that those things he's doing was best for the country?
In my opinion, yes. Matter of fact, hold on a minute, I got to call in at the last half an hour. What's going on? I don't know how long you've been. I just looked up Epstead at the room. What's going on, Sean?
I just came in.
What's going on? Go on ahead. What you got to say?
What's up, DC?
Hey, Sean, how are you?
All right. Yeah.
Hey, I got to tell you, that day when those guys was on the air and they were, like, offending everybody, just the biggest idiots I've ever talked to almost my entire life. You sounded so smooth. You sound like you were a record.
Thanks, I guess.
so smooth. It was like, I was like, dang, is Jimmy dubbing him in?
Let me ask you a question, Sean. Is this old school? Now that the case is serious over, do you think Obama is right for saying, I'm going to drop bombs on these people right now? Now that do you think it's justifiable by saying, I'm going to use force against Syria by making Russia buckle now? It's about 2 or 3 weeks later.
He going to drop bombs on Syria now? I'm not keeping up.
No, 3 weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we were arguing over whether Obama should attack Syria. And we're saying about those those chemical weapons that he had over there. And then
you know what they're saying. They're saying that we launched them chemical weapons. Russia. Russia was like, y'all back in the rebels. The rebels launched them. And that's what Syria's saying. The rebels launched them.
Then again, listen. Why did the rebels launch? Why are they giving them back to us? But listen. Let's see who the true winner is. Remember, I told you, me and your argument was over this. You said it was because of Israel. As soon as we made a move on Syria, he's the first country that came to us and like, what's going on? Iran. Because Iran realized, hold on, we called America and America came. Because we don't want these weapons over here. It wasn't Israel. Now, what's Israel saying now? Israel's saying now that, well, hey, maybe they can have a nuclear weapon. I don't know. But the point I'm saying is, when everybody said blame Israel for America over there in Syria, Iran was the beneficiary of that. And that's why lately have you noticed America and Iran been diplomatic, talking open channels, and that's the first time that has happened since when, who knows when, those weapons over there in Syria. Israel didn't care about the weapons over there. You know what I'm saying? Jordan, Saudi, Iran, none of them wanted that stuff over there. Iran was in that Iraq war in the 80s, and that's what I was saying, use those weapons in Iran. They want that shit back in their country, no more, man.
Well, Iran, they don't know the history of dealing with. They don't know the history. Eventually, they're going to get slaughtered. They shake hands with the devil, eventually they're going to have to...
They didn't shake hands. Iran and America, they shake hands.
Oh, okay. Well, hey.
They shake hands.
Why
didn't they shake hands?
I checked out that Samayan thing, though.
What do you think about it now?
I had to research on that, man. Oh, that's strong possibility, man, because, hey, I'm looking at it. I think all three of them did things at the same time.
Same time.
Huh?
Same time.
It was corner to hit. Yeah. Yeah.
But then I tell you, Somalia trying to keep that on the low so to keep everybody.
You're right. We killing Somalians, man. We is.
Right, listen.
We is. And keep it on the low. We've been bombing them. That's jacked up,
man. If it was Bill Clinton,
airstrikes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dang. I was like, I didn't even know this, man. I had to research that, look at, man. That's why they.
We should be like the Somalians, go over to Minnesota and buy these hotels. They were doing training camps, homie. And the government's not putting that out there, so we won't go attack Somalians. Because we all look at them like, what you going to do? They're here now. You can watch those tonight. I'm not trying to front like that, blast like that. But brag on how they get together in my hotel blocks and get their own communities. They're here now. They're third generation
I appreciate them, man. They got balls. They showing us how to do it.
What, somebody set yourself on fire?
Hey, man, they showing us how to do it. It's the only way to get attention. Hey, look, man. They getting killed over there, man.
We don't go on mission with our babies in the cars.
That's hero. Hey, that's a hero. I mean, he may not be a hero to you, but she's a hero to somebody else.
Well, like I said, she didn't get
that's,
Jesus.
That's a warrior. That's a definite warrior. This new generation of warriors, man, like not like punks like us.
It's crazy, man. I'm a man. Like your boy, like the boy in D.C., these are awesome Mayans. Look at that dude here.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I believe that dude in the Navy Yard, because, see, when,
he's
I, looked
African,
at the, when I looked at that group, huh? Yeah, yeah.
He's a Mayan. Look at the phone here. Well, hear me out. That group was planning probably a strategic strike for Navy SEAL. I mean, if you look up that group, the group that he worked for, he probably said that they was going into Somalia, man, and came, I ain't about to have that, came in with the shotty and started shooting up the place. I'm telling you, when you look at that group that he was working for, that's what they do. When you look it up, strategic planning for different countries, what? Subcontract for the UN? Strategic planning for militaries? I don't know, man. But anyway, hello?
I don't know neither, but all I'm saying is this, that it's Somalians, and they're not going to leak that out there to the public.
They big time threw it up with the boy that burnt himself up. They said, oh, it wasn't a political statement. Who said it was a political? They already put it up. It's not. He wasn't making a political statement. His family came out. Well, we know he was. His family probably, you know, scared. We'd get deported. You hear me?
Right. I'm just saying. Just like old girl, Big Precious on Trayvon Martin shit. That's like, I'm only 22, so she's looking on the stage and live. Immigration's a motherfucker now. And that goes back to the immigration bill. It's more than Hispanics, man. You got these Africans coming over here, man. Nah, man. Shine is bad for you. You look Somalian, man. No, you look Somalian, huh? Man. They'll come get you in a minute, man. They'll get gaffled up, man. You know what I'm saying? No.
What you talking
about? The last thing we need is these niggas setting themselves on fire, man. You know what I'm saying? Have a Cleveland look. I mean, look like you're from Africa already, goddamn. Real talk. They'll come get you on
that. Well, you know what Somalians that did that mall thing down there in Kenya.
Because
Kenya is being backed by guess who? Us. And they going in and killing the Somalians. That's why Somalia don't like us. Somalia don't like us right now.
We back in Kenya. We have war with Somalia. That's just it. Let the truth be told.
But you know we trying to genocide Somalians, right? Cause we want their oil and their natural resources.
We're gonna be a real listen. Oil's gonna be played out. All electric cars. Don't buy all that. But let's go here. Do you remember Black Hawk Down, Mogadishu?
Yeah. Yeah.
We finishing that war right now, nigga. Now we coming back for that shit. Obama's closing all doors. He's closing all books on all beefs. That was unsettled. They've been settled. Gaddafi.
You know what? With this one, we going down the wrong alley messing with Somalia, for real. And the mere fact that we even came out and said the Navy messed up this weekend, the Navy SEALs messed up, we had to do something real. I mean, we had to do something real bad because America won't admit nothing like that. We had to do something very obvious that we cannot ignore. It's going to come out big later on. Probably killed a whole bunch of people.
Yeah. They said it.
I'm telling you. Because they said we had an airstrike. The SEALs had to call an airstrike. Man, come on, dude. They killed a lot of people. They can't cover it up.
But what I'm saying is this. But are we talking about that? Or are we talking about the showdown? Which one is what? The government shutdown? Or the war in Somalia that I've been telling everybody that we on. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's the war in Somalia. That government shut down the front thing, man, I believe.
So I'm trying to be on the same side, man. Because there are other things going on. And every week, the American Negro do not take their children on suicide mission. The American Negro do not stop in the middle of the highway and go on a suicide mission with police. The American Negro never set themselves on fire, man. I'm sorry. Richard Pryor tried it, but this ain't working. We don't do that shit, man. There's things we don't do. So now, they've been living up there in Minnesota, like you said, all for a couple of years, Sean, buying in business and all like that, man. They got to go now, man. They got to go.
Nah, I don't want them to go. I don't want them to go, man. I like them being here.
Start driving people like you up, man.
They need to show us how it's done, man. I like
what
Somalia doing. Somalia like all foreigners out. They taking that cue from China. That's how China got to be big. They kicked all the foreigners out and revamped the whole country.
Well, let's be Somalia and get all our foreigners out too then. Straight up. They got to go.
Well, they ain't going back to Europe. They ain't going back to Europe, man.
No, they got to go. These Somalians got to go.
They ain't got to
go.
They got to go. I like them, man. Uh-uh.
Matter of fact, how about this? When they go, you can step in to get jobs over. Them businesses, they're going to be abandoned. They can take over.
Man, we don't get their jobs. They got brains, but, you know.
And I listen, it's you must not. Do you remember back in 1942 during Pearl Harbor when they said, lock all the Japanese up, man? In a minute, it's going to be like that.
Huh?
It's going to be like that. Lock up all black people. It looks like Somalia.
Well, and you will probably sit there and just say, and let them load you up in the truck without even swinging or doing nothing, right?
No, I'm not saying, let's say they got to go.
Huh?
What about that? I might be like, no, they got to go. They got to go. They got to go. Man, listen, they got to go.
No, man.
They got to go. Because let me tell you something.
That ain't happened. Black folks ain't dead. See, that's why we need them over here, because of docile thinking like yours.
Oh, man, they got to go.
Somalians ain't the type to get going to let somebody round them up and put them in term account. See, we need that around us. We need that type of
niggas don't like blacks, man. They don't like American Negroes.
Huh?
You take the old French swastika ass back home, man. Time to go, man. Yo,
Well, I'm telling you, if they make enough big enough stink, we gonna pay attention. You paid attention with apartheid. It took a while.
Hold on. See, there those who are paying attention now. You're paying attention now, but you wasn't before. Like I said, the first thing I told you yesterday was, if I say who the first person Obama killed, you can't think of it. If I say Pi, you say Somalia, off top. I mean, and that from day one, the war been over that. For damn near 8 years, man. 8 years, damn near.
What's that?
It was at least six. Every day.
What's that?
We've been dropping bombs on Somalia ever since the pirates, man.
Oh, well, you know, the pirate thing, because we was dumping toxic waste on them. They was killing the kids, man. That's what they was like. Get them ships out of there. They ain't had nothing else, so they tried to pirate shit. You know,
right now.
They don't talk about that. They don't talk about that. That's why I said they're trying to genocide them. That's why they're trying to genocide Somalians. People don't know.
Then,
see?
Listen.
That's why they were
trying
to fire them ships like he come. Huh?
Listen.
They dumped toxic waste in
Somalia
the water, man.
They're about a buck 05, man. Let's be real. How can you genocide somebody eating that? You know, what the hell? I mean, what the fuck?
What you mean? They healthy. They still living, ain't they?
So
they still living after all these years, ain't got no food, they still living. No, they healthy, man.
I say, you can kill them, no matter what you do to them. They ain't going to, listen, what I'm trying to say, genocide Somalian is oxymoron. It does not exist, man. It can never happen. You know, for some reason, if the water's bad, they might never drink water for the rest of their lives. They still going to fucking have babies and that, you know what the hell, that's how they do it. Listen, Black Hawk down, a bunch of rib cage, six swinging people took down American Black Hawk.
And they beat the SEALs, too.
He pulled out after that. Obama came back right now. I'm back, y'all. Time to settle old score. All Obama doing is settling old scores from previous administrations that didn't finish it. We got Obama. We got Gaddafi.
Well, Obama better watch out. He's going to end up, you know, getting impeached over this Somalian thing, for real. The Navy SEALs got busted.
No, he's not, man. No, he's not, man. No, he's not, man.
Okay. All right, let them Somalians come out marching in the streets. And you know they're going to have all the foreigners with them. We didn't attack Syria. I mean, we didn't attack the Arabs. We didn't kidnap some more Arabs.
Let me tell you why they're not going to come marching in the streets.
You know these foreigners ain't too happy with the president right now. Go ahead.
Street. Because they want this Immigration Reform Act to pass. They march out the streets, then Congress or the Senate won't even look at their administration. And that hurt all the other foreigners. So they're going to shut the fuck up and just take it. Or they all get deported. They know what time it is. They got to be quiet. They can't be protesting in the streets right now when they're trying to get immigration bill passed, being foreigners, no green cards out here, pass immigration. I mean, all you do is run INS. right through the whole cap might be gone. They over here on the overstayed visa already. Living the luxury already.
I tell you this, man. We can't be killing too many people, family members, and thinking it's okay. And thinking all these and thinking all these Somalians over here ain't related, huh?
You in the military, man. How long have we been doing that?
I ain't no more. And still.
Man, hey.
Still, you can't just be killing people innocently. I mean, just because you join up, that don't mean you want to harm innocent people.
You kill all threats to America, homie. That's the whole deal.
It ain't looking good for America's karma, man. I'm telling you. We got to answer for all this, man.
But that lady had to get popped, she's a threat to America. That's the bottom line, man. You listen, I got kids growing up. We got kids growing up in this place. I don't want my kids growing up in internment camps because they black with these crazy ass Somalians and flip the script. Get their asses on back, man. I don't need those Somalians.
I hope they do that. Because we need to see. We need to see how they really feel about it.
I don't need Jim Crow laws, homie. I don't need that shit.
What you mean? You going to sit there and just take it and let them push some laws on you, and you'd be docile enough to just to take it, wouldn't you?
Man, I'd be with the man because they got to go. There's no way I can see somebody from Somalia assimilating America while you're dropping bombs on their ass. I can't see it happening. Can you see Somalia assimilate with any Americans and we're dropping bombs on them? Can you see that right now?
I can see angry blacks talking to other black folks.
What angry blacks?
That's what
blacks
I'm saying.
Like you didn't
you trying to keep it divided, like we're not connected with them. Huh? Thank you for informing me.
Blacks ain't even tripping on Obama for dropping bombs on Somalia. If it was Bill Clinton, it'd be a riot. It'd be a riot right down the street.
Well, don't nobody know about it. They hush hushing it. If I wouldn't even know if the Navy SEALs had a failed attack, if I hadn't looked at it, it was so written so small on the internet.
I don't watch TV every day. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have cable. I don't have satellite. I have what you call regular TV with a digital converter box. I get the 257, the basic TV channels, probably 9 or 10 channels. 257, ABC, NBC, CBS.
Did you see it? Did it come on TV?
On the news. These are my news channels, homie.
Okay, because I rarely watch the news.
Watch PBS.
I really watch it.
Go to public broadcasters. You learn a lot of PBS. Watch McNair and Larry report a couple of times. But what I'm saying is, it's on every night at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock your time. What I'm saying is, people just don't. If it ain't the Republicans jumping on Obama, is Obama winning? Oh, they all racist. Oh, forget all that. If it ain't that, people ain't paying attention to it. That's all.
Okay.
Online, because that's a subterfuge. The Democrats get
okay,
niggas
so,
all
so if we didn't have Obama, who would you suggest we have up in there? That
no,
you would be
listen, no. What I'm saying is this.
Well, I'm talking about reality
started,
speaking, because you had John McCain and Obama. So which one would you choose?
I was with Obama over John McCain.
Because you know if you say McCain, you're gonna sound like the biggest Uncle Tom.
I was with Obama over John McCain, but John McCain and Obama said the same foreign policy views. There's no difference between both of them. Let's be real on that.
Obama's just scared. He's scared right now. They don't look.
John McCain has the same
political
policy views right now. Have you heard John McCain come out and criticize the President Obama? Hell no, because you know what Obama doing, what he's down with all the time. Obama getting Republicans elected off top because the Democrats did not stand with them over that Syria. They played them for the last time, man. They played them. Cole played them.
What? What you say?
Last time we talked, it was right before the vote came out, and Obama said Putin is going to intercede. There was going to be a vote on the floor to authorize Obama to strike Syria, all the Democrats before voted against Obama. But Putin jumped in.
But that's what Obama wanted. That's what Obama wanted. He really didn't want to do that.
Listen, Obama.
Oh, now Obama wanted them to vote against it, but he wanted to show that he was that he was willing to go all that way. You can tell he
was
going to
lose. Why? Because there's more Republicans in Congress. So if he won a party line vote, that means all Republicans voted no. But all
that means you get to stay at the bottom of the barrel for the rest of however long. Okay.
Sean, listen. He wanted all Republicans to vote. He knew the Republicans were going to vote no. But he did not know all the Democrats were going to vote no, neither. He thought it was going to be a party line vote because there's more Republicans in Congress.
Hey, come on, dude. Come on. You don't really think that. He didn't even vote. He didn't even run on the premise of starting wars, dude.
Sean.
No, he said ain't going to be no blank. No, he said it's going to be a voting on it. He knew good and well. He knew good and well nobody want no war no more. The only reason he was going over there because of Israel. Remember 2 weeks before, Israel attacked Syria? Said they had chemical weapons?
So everybody can tell him no, so he can get humiliated on the national stage when they're asking everybody to help him out to get these weapons, right? Is that trying to tell me? He knew
he
was humiliated
Israel, we both fight
because he knew that he was not going to get the vote because Republicans were not going to vote for him. He knew that. But what he didn't know was that his party was not going to vote with him. They left him, too, because there are more Republicans in the House. If all Democrats would have voted yeah, he still would have lost. He still would have lost, but all Democrats voted no. They played
him.
Listen, just like when London voted, London said nah. Every country said nah. We don't believe that Syria has
those
weapons.
Wait a minute. Didn't they do the Democratic way they voted?
What happened?
If they did it the Democratic way, then it was done the right way. He wasn't upset. Now, what got us upset was when we just invaded people without that all that.
Sean, no.
Yeah.
He did a good. No. You're truly right, Sean. Again, you're right again. Again, you're right. This is not being me facetious. That was an excellent precedent setter because every other president must do what he just did and take it to Congress. Because normally what they normally do is they bomb first and then make a press conference later. But this time, like Bill Clinton did in Bosnia, or Ronald Reagan or George Bush, but this time he said, before I bomb, I'm going to Congress, which is a good precedent setter. I agree with you. But the vote did not count because right when he was about to have the vote, Putin came in and said, I'm bringing the weapons in, don't bomb. So before the vote even took place, Putin said there are weapons, don't bomb. Obama said, I'm not going to bomb. So he got out of it then. But the hard count is this, that his boys didn't stand with him. People a year ago.
Wait. When you say stand with him, what you mean? If he say, I want to go to war, they supposed to be 100% with him?
Wait a minute.
When Bush said he wanted to go to war, Obama was the only one that said no.
I'm going to say this.
Obama ain't expecting everybody to agree with him. I don't know when you on that Republican when the man says that we do whatever the man says, like the Republican Party doing now. Because what is it, Boehner? I don't even understand the guy. But
they
have no brains of their own. They follow suit whatever this guy says. They don't
you
even think this. They're like sheep.
Let me go civics for you one time. Barack Obama won the Democratic National Convention. Do we agree?
Go ahead.
Do we agree?
Go ahead. Get your point. Go ahead.
The Democratic Party chose Barack Obama as who? Not the president, as their leader. So when you're head of a corporation, you are the leader.
Whoa. Go ahead, Dana.
No, if you watch the convention, every Democratic state had a chance to cast their vote for someone
who
wanted
to represent
them
as a leader. He's a leader, not a master.
Head of the party. The Republicans had their convention. Every party had a convention to choose their leader of their party. The leader.
Okay, what is it? Okay, that's not master.
How about this? How about this? The way people want to talk about it, Mitt Romney is right now until the next convention the leader of the Republican Party because everybody gave him the nomination to be their head. Whether he won the top
job. Did you nominate him?
Herman Cain, homie.
You nominated Herman Cain. So you that 45% Mitt Romney talking about?
Yep.
That 47%?
Yep.
Oh, you part of them? Okay.
And you still a Republican? I got 47%, homie. That's right. I believe in law government. That's why the furlough will bring us
law
government.
You know what, Jimmy? You would have never been a runaway slave, man. You would have never been a runaway slave.
I would have bought my freedom. I would have bought my papers outright.
No, you would have stayed on the plantation.
I would have been a Chicken George number.
No, we getting fed good here.
I would have been a Chicken George number. I would have fought enough chickens to save up my money to buy my papers like Chicken George did and come back and buy some land like Chicken George did and go back and buy my family like Chicken George did. I had to run away. There's ways. I mean, I bought.
Well, you know that was in the movies. You know that was in the movies.
No.
They just made a movie. They kidnapping brothers and putting them in slavery. They just made a movie about that.
Well,
but anyway.
It's called
but anyway,
Maya USA.
Look, you got to think for yourself in the Republican Party.
Listen,
you hear me?
I look at myself like Monroe Trotter, Martin Delaney, W.E.B. Du Bois. Cesar Partee, Ed Brooks, Booker T. Washington.
Hey, what Dana had to say? She had to say something on you.
Now, everybody,
I just feel that I'm glad that people won't blindly. You know, we got to make sure that the democratic process it remains in place, and people can't just blindly support somebody based on you're part of the party that I run with. You know what I mean? Because then you'll have so many irresponsible decisions made. And that's one thing that I can say. I'm glad that people didn't just blindly say, hey, let's go to war. Might say, go to war, let's go to war. But
the man had weapons.
But that's what I was going to say.
He had weapons. And in the end,
the thing about the president is that he stood up. He stood up. He knew to be facts. And he didn't back down based on who agreed and who didn't agree. He said,
right.
I'm
he back down with what I'm saying, Dana.
I'm the most powerful man in the world, and I'm going to leave. Regardless of whether or not you support me. Iran
came to the table because they realized Obama was true. Iran made that phone call, Jim Lee speculates, and said, get these weapons up out of here. Obama obliged. Iran came to the table. And now, Sean, Israel mad because America's talking to Iran. Now, who won in this battle? This is Jimmy Underground Radio Network. And I guess I'll let Sean get the last word, man.
Oh, peace. Everybody have a good night. All right.
Dana.
Sometimes I get a a very strange enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far, very far over land and sea. A little shy, very wise, what he
magic day my way. And while we spoke of many things, ooh, this he said to me, a great thing you ever learned is just to love and be loved in return. Sometimes I get a little lonely, and sometimes I get a little blue. The greatest thing is just to love, be loved in return.